Okay, introduce yourself and tell me who you are.
My name is Karen White. I am the mother of four. I'm also the mother of Christopher.
Yes, she is. And she is the matriarch of this family. Yes, you are.
Oh, okay.
So, Mama.
Yes.
Tell me a joke.
What kind of joke?
I don't care. Oh. Dirty joke, clean joke, a joke.
I don't know a joke.
You know a joke.
Let me think about a joke. I can't remember that joke. They say they got a new cure for being gay.
They got a cure for being gay.
Yeah.
What is that?
Try dicks again.
And that's how we gonna start this podcast.
No, we not.
Welcome to Cuts University, where we keep it real all the time. Now listen, this is the only place on the planet where you can get a free degree in common sense. Now, that was a perfect intro to this episode. This is the baby and the mama episode right here. So I got some. Oh yeah, but I'm the oldest baby. I was the first baby,
okay,
right?
Okay.
So I got something specific for you because last time my partner D Tripp, he said a prayer for you. I thought about that, and then I said, you know what?
He put a hex on that.
He did not.
Yes, he did.
I thought about something though, and I said, you know what? If you really knew my mom, you would really be saying a true prayer for her. My brother Tony and Curtis and my sister Keita can attest to this. So I have theme music just for my mom. If you didn't know, my mom is a boxing champ. And if you didn't know that, this is her theme music.
I don't want nobody fucking with me in these streets.
Same children.
I don't want nobody fucking with me in these streets.
Uh-uh.
I don't want nobody fucking with me in these streets.
Same children.
Ain't nobody got time for that. Ain't nobody got time for that. Ain't nobody got time. Ain't nobody got time for that.
So what?
Shit.
Shit.
So yeah, that is my mother's theme music. If you didn't know that, now you know. If you grew up where we grew up, you would know she's notorious before notorious was notorious. She good with them hands. She's good with them hands.
Oh, you ought to know about that.
I do know about that. That's why I know you tricked me. I know you tricked me. When I had my first son, my first child, I said, Mama, was I a bad kid when I was growing up? Because I'm trying to figure this little dude out. And she looked me straight in my face and said, nope. And I'm like, lady, you lying like hell. And then I realized that as I grew, my mother never treated my kids the way she treated us. So I started thinking about this. And I said, you know, I done figured it out. I'm going to need some theme music for this. But I done figured it out. I done figured out what it is and why my mother is not like she used to be when we were growing up. See, my mama is working on getting into heaven. And she's doing everything in her power to make sure that that happens. Therefore, she spoils the grandkids to the point where she would have tore us in half for anything that the kids have done. If we did it, it was a wrap. Am I lying?
No, you're not lying.
So, what's the reasoning then?
I had three boys. Remember, I told you that story. I had three boys.
What's the story?
The woman said, oh, you got three boys. They're going to be whooping you when you get older. Like, oh, hell no. No.
So
I had to be hard on y'all.
That was the catalyst?
But I was hard and fair. I was fair, and you know it.
I got to, if I could dial in a witness right now, I would definitely like to call my brother Anthony.
He didn't get whoopings.
You know what? Tony paid attention to me and Curtis. And I guess he just figured, look, Curtis is a runner. Chris is going to take it. Curtis is a runner. I don't want to be anywhere in between that because by the time she gets to me, she's going to be tired. So he would just lay there and just take a whooping. I'm like, man, you don't feel like you want to escape? And the full day that I decided to follow my brother Curtis, let me know everything I needed to know. Don't do that shit. Don't do that. And I was like, why did I follow Curtis? First time, last time. And all that was on Curtis' mind was
run.
So you had to be hard on us because
I wanted to make y'all productive young men, black men.
Okay.
You know what it is to have, oh, you don't know what it is to have a sorry black man or a man, period.
Okay.
So I didn't want y'all to be sorry.
I can understand that. So, definition of sorry. Explain that.
Trifling. Don't want to work. Walk around with your pants hanging down. Things like that.
Things like that. So you were making sure that we did not turn into that.
Thieves. I wasn't visiting you in jail.
I do remember you saying that pointedly. If you go to jail for keeping someone off your ass, I'll come bail you out. But if you go to jail for something stupid, don't even call me.
Don't call me.
And I thought about that every time I was with my friends, and I said, nah, we might get in trouble, man. My mama ain't coming to pick me. Hell no. Nah. Your mama might come pick you up, but I know for a fact I'm not even calling my mama. It ain't happening. I'm going to try to figure out a way to get my brothers to answer the phone if possible. And this was when we had house phones. It wasn't cell phones, house phones. So you had to memorize numbers and stuff. So, yeah, that wasn't happening. So you wasn't raising any trifling young black men.
And I didn't.
No, you didn't. So who's your favorite?
Oh.
Who's the favorite?
Honey.
What? He's a grandkid.
He's my favorite. Oh, I can't say that. I got Jordan and, oh, you talking about the boys?
Yeah.
I got C4 and I got Duck and I got, okay. I know, all of them the favorite.
So all now you just switch it to all the kids are the favorites.
All the grandkids are the favorite.
Oh, my God. You're killing me right now. It's always a favorite child, whether you realize it or not. There's always a favorite. And you kind of dote on that one.
You my favorite with education.
Wait a minute, you got talking to the mic now so these people can hear.
You're my favorite with education. Curtis is my favorite with being a go-getter. He is when he want to be. Tony's my Mr. Entertainment.
I give him that.
And Marquita is, she's a mini-me.
What does that mean?
No, sometimes she act too much like me.
So, so Keita is the mini you. What is your granddaughter, Kamora, then?
She's a mini me, too.
Mm. Okay.
She just said, is it a such thing as being too independent? That was a text to me.
That's what she just texted me as well. And I said, nope. And usually someone telling you that you're too independent is because they're not as independent as they would like to be. So they try to project that on you so that you can simmer down. You can calm down. Whatever you're doing, you're doing too much of it. That's the way I look at it. So tell me about growing up in Fifth Ward. Wait a minute. Run it down, your brothers and sisters.
What do you mean?
Run it down. How many brothers and sisters do you come from? Do you have?
All together?
All together.
I have three brothers and three sisters, right?
They're your brothers. They my uncles and aunts.
I got to count. Teresa, Trudy, and Sheila. Three sisters. Charles, David, Mike, Charlie.
Okay.
Did I forget somebody?
I don't know. I'm asking.
Not that I know.
Okay. So what was that like growing up with that many siblings?
Oh, I grew up with the four, Charles, David, Mike. Ooh, did I forget Mike a while ago?
No, I think you said Mike.
I can't say that's my favorite brother.
So Mike is the favorite brother because he's the baby?
No, he's just my mama brought him home and gave him to me, and that's mine. So he's not, I guess, I ain't saying that.
Okay. So I know recently you were doing our family tree, right? Mm-hmm. And in doing the family tree, you were able to trace that back to when?
All the way back to 1818.
You trace the family tree back to 1818. Mm-hmm. That gives me a lot of questions. Okay, 1818. Mm-hmm. Who, okay, where did we start and where, with whom?
Washington White.
Washington White.
Mm-hmm. He was in, I can't remember, and I had to get my book, but he was in, I found him in the census. And, you know, back then, being black or colored, they didn't keep up with your mom and your dad. You were just property.
Okay. Talking so to I, the mic.
So I found him, and he was 4 years old.
So Washington White mm-hmm. was 4 years old, mm-hmm. and that would be our what?
Ooh, great, 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 great grandfather.
And he was four?
He was four.
So how did you track him past the age of four?
Because he moved from... can't think of the name of the town, but he moved from there to Texas.
Hmm. So wait a minute, he was sold or
no? He became free.
Oh, okay. Because I got to get those.
But
details.
He didn't. I couldn't find his mother because his mother was property. When they put the peoples in the census back then, they put them in as cattle and property.
Right.
They didn't put them in as people or humans.
Right.
So yeah. He was in there, and his mother was probably in there, but she didn't have a white on the end of her name.
So where does our name come from? White.
White came from the plantation owner.
So the plantation owner that had our great 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 mm-hmm. grandfather mm-hmm. Washington, white. His name was White. Mm-hmm. So Washington basically took.
Yeah.
The property owner's last name. So the slave owner at that time was, mm-hmm. you don't know his name, mm-mm. but it was White.
Yeah, and they had an opportunity to change their last name. He didn't.
Why do you think that is?
I don't know. Some people just, maybe back then, they just didn't feel like they would advance or get anywhere by changing their name. Or maybe that people couldn't track them if they changed their name. I don't know.
Hmm. So he became Washington White. Mm-hmm. And this is where it gets interesting because as he got older, I'm pretty sure he married someone mm-hmm. and he had kids. So how did the name continue to carry on?
I have to get that book. You're really trying to test my memory now. But I have to get the book to show how it filtered down.
Okay, because I've always wondered that. Like, I was thinking about this the other day. Okay. Your daughter-in-law is from North Carolina, mm-hmm. and her last name was Poole. Mm-hmm. My name is White, so when I married her, her name changed mm-hmm. to White. Mm-hmm. And I started thinking about this the other day, and I said, you know what? Someone's going to end up meeting my daughter, probably in college or after college, and what's going to happen when they want to take her away from the city and the state that she's from and marry her and change her last name? And all of a sudden, I wasn't cool with that. And I said, whoa, wait a minute.
Kamora so it's left. Not going anywhere.
Oh, yes, she is.
No, she's not.
Sooner or later. Hmm. So I'm like, wait a minute. My lineage is left to my son, Christopher? Man, I'm in damn trouble.
You better get you another son.
So I'm thinking about that, and I'm like, man, I don't like the thought of someone taking my daughter away and changing her name. And then... my wife looks at me like, shut your ass up. She looked at me and I was like,
really, nigga?
Okay. Enough said. So I was thinking about that and it just came up. So as we're going down this family tree, I'm saying to myself, how are you able to really trace all of these people in our family?
Censors.
The census or?
Death certificates. Because most of the time when you have a death certificate, the immediate family member will be the one who signs the death certificate. Like I signed daddy's death certificate.
Okay.
And then, but if that person is married, then you see their married name.
Okay.
If it's his daughter, you'll see that person's married name. And then that's how you link them all together. You know, because a woman's name is going to change. The man's name is not going to change.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's what my question was alluding to. Like, okay, what happens when you have, what if you had a great, great, great grandparent that had nothing but daughters?
Wow.
None of those names would be the same ever. So you're in the infinite mode of tracking.
You take that census and you go back as far back as you possibly can. You see when they were born. And the problem with that in looking up somebody on the census is that, you know, they put you on there by your nickname.
By your nickname? What do you mean?
Yeah. You know, my birth name is Karen White. But the thing is this, they put you on the census as K.
Oh,
who is
okay.
K? You don't know K. You understand? Like Washington White. He was Washington White. But then when you go and you look down to the census through Bryan College Station, he became Wash.
Okay.
Not Washington. He was Wash. Yeah.
Okay, you just brought up another point. Okay, so we have family that started in Bryan College Station, or is it different areas of Texas?
Hearn, Calvert, Bryan College Station, Marlin, Waco up that way. That's not Centerville. That's is it Somerville? Somewhere up there.
Okay.
Yeah.
So did the majority of our family come from a centralized area, or they were just spread out because of selling and trading? And
They came together.
Okay.
And as they came together, well, my brother didn't want to stay here, so he moved off to Oklahoma. And that's what happened with granddaddy's side of the family, the Knight side of the family.
It's whites and Knights?
Uh-huh. Whites is daddy's side, my daddy's side.
Okay.
Knights is my mama's side. So granddaddy's brothers, they all came down together. They stayed in Calvert. Then those brothers moved to Marlin, Texas. Well, when they moved to Marlin, Texas, they didn't want to stay in Marlin, Texas.
Okay.
Granddaddy stayed, but then Noah moved to Oklahoma.
So we have relatives in Oklahoma that we've never met to this day?
Curtis has. He went to the family reunion a couple of years ago.
Okay, I've never met any of our, I think I've spoken with someone mm-hmm. from Oklahoma, but mm-hmm. I just know the family that we have now, mm-hmm. Regina and her family that's in Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
But that's almost like immediate. These other family members, I've never.
That's granddaddy's brother's children.
Okay, see, I never even knew about that.
I didn't know about them either until we got the going through the census and looking at everything. And they invited us down one year, and me and Curtis drove down.
Wow.
And I drove down, yeah.
So, okay, now that leads to another question. So why do you think the family structure is so splintered to where we don't know of one another as we should? Because I'm pretty sure we're not the only family that deals with something like that.
Failure to keep up with each other.
Because I noticed when, this is before Daddy Alvin passed away. We used to have a family reunion out at the farm. Mm-hmm. Every year when
Bryan
we were
College,
kids.
Yeah, Bryan College Station.
Bryan College Station. And then all of a sudden that stopped happening. And so I would always meet cousins from everywhere. Mm-hmm. El Paso. I didn't even know we had cousins in El Paso.
Cousins, uncles.
Yeah.
Great
I uncles. Mean, everywhere. And I'm saying, wait a minute. This guy is really fair-skinned, but he looks like Uncle David.
Mm-hmm.
And you see different family members that resemble one another. And then you start looking at Daddy Alvin, you're like, dang, man, all of these people, I could see the resemblance
mm-hmm.
in all of us. But, you know, this is when we were kids, and then we really stopped having the big family gatherings as we got older.
Yeah, a lot of the older people were taking care of the family reunion, getting us together. And then they were trying to pass it off to the younger people. You know, younger people don't want to do anything.
That's true.
And remember, we had family reunion here.
No, I remember.
Yeah.
Yeah, the
white
family. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember that. And I just got to say, y'all did a fantastic job on that because that was incredible.
It was Uncle David.
Uncle David and you, y'all killed it. That was something I was like, this should be every year. Mm-hmm. But I understand it's a great undertaking to do something like that because this wasn't, we're just going to meet up and we're going to socialize in a big hall. No, it was a three-day event?
Three night. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Yeah, that was incredible. The white culminated with the white party. No, it was the white gala.
The white night. All white night.
Right. And what did we do? We did a proclamation for the city for...
City gave us a proclamation.
Wow. Yeah, see, that was incredible. And, you know, I think Chris... My kids were like, what, 5 and... Maybe 6 and 5 at the time? Because Chris had to be 6 or 7. Mm. When I look at those pictures, he had to be 6 or 7.
I think he was like 5. Ming was like 4.
I think, yeah. But just to see all of us that had never met before, I mean, it was mind-blowing to me. Like, wow, man, we got a lot of catching up to do because now I need to know how we're related and who is the common denominator out of all of these individuals. So that brings me back to growing up in Fifth Ward. So I know for a fact that this isn't going to be a one conversation podcast with you. So we're going to term this as episode 1, the Mama Cast, and just term it like that because this is going to continue. But this is an integral part of it. This is the establishing podcast of where we're from, how we got here, and where we're going. So I know you wasn't expecting this, and this kind of caught you off guard, but this was perfect. Yeah. So you have 6 brothers and sisters. Mm-hmm. How many grandkids? How many children? 4?
Who, me?
Yeah.
I have 4.
4, and you have how many grandkids?
7.
7 grand. Wait a minute.
I have Honey and Ming, Jordan and Tootie Toes.
Okay.
And then I have Duck.
Yeah.
And C4, and I always count Trey.
Okay.
I always count Trey.
Okay. You see, she named everybody by nicknames. Everybody was by nicknames. No, no real names. The identities would not be provided. Everybody has a nickname or two or three. But we never had nicknames growing up except for Tony. Tony is the only one that ever had a nickname.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Everybody, Keita didn't even have a nickname.
Keita got Keita.
No. She had Lil Cilla.
Well, she had Pumpkin.
Yeah. But think about it. Tony had a real nickname, Chocolate Bunny.
He my Snicker Bar.
See? He's got 2 nicknames. We don't even have one. Me and Curtis like, wait a minute, why you get to be the Chocolate Bunny? What the hell are we then? I don't understand it. So
I was talking to Kimora yesterday, and I said, Kimora, I'm going to sing a song for you. And she said, what? I said, what's my name? My name is Bomb Bomb Sugar Mama White Mingley. She said, what? I said, that's what you used to sing. That was your name. You had that many nicknames. Bomb Bomb Sugar Mama White Mingley.
Incredible. And trust me, she answers to every nickname.
Yeah, she does.
Now Chris only answers to Honey when his grandmother calls him that.
What y'all call him?
Pom Pom.
Oh.
Yeah, he's going to hate this podcast. Like, why y'all talking about that stuff for everybody to hear? Like, man, that was your grandmother's fault. She brought that up. Okay, so you have 7 grandkids. And... What do you do right now?
I'm retired.
Okay.
But I work for the union, American Postal Workers Union.
Okay. You're retired from what?
The Postal Service.
How long did you work for the Postal Service?
37 years.
37 years at the Postal Service. Wow. I can't even imagine being, I couldn't even imagine being married this long, but I've been married almost 18 years. And you had been with the Postal Service since we were, I think since I was in the first grade.
No, I think you were like in maybe the 3rd, 4th.
No, because I remember when you came home and said that we were living in Fifth Ward.
On Gregg Street.
That was Gregg Street? Mm-hmm. I thought that was that was Gregg Street. Okay. It's starting to come a little more focused now. Okay, Gregg Street, you started working at the post office.
Mm-hmm. I was 23, going on 24.
Wow. I think I asked you this question the other day. And it alluded to you telling what we call our grandmother, which we call mama, that you were pregnant. How did that conversation go? You were pregnant with me. How did that conversation go?
I didn't tell mama. My daddy told mama.
So wait a minute. So what? Because I guess I got the whole story confused now. So you didn't tell mama. Daddy Alvin told mama.
Yes.
So what did he tell mama?
He just called mama and told mama that I was pregnant.
And how did he know that?
We went to El Paso. We took a vacation to El Paso. And he first thought I was sick because of the altitude.
Wait a minute, you guys were on a flight?
Nope.
You drove.
Oh, okay. I mean, you know, just anyway, I was sick. So he came to me. He said, "Aren't you like other little girls?" My daddy was nosy.
Kind of sound like me. Well, okay.
I say, "Yeah." He said, "Well, why you don't want to, I asked for those things in that blue box." I was like, "What?" He said,
"What's the things in the blue box?"
Sanitary napkins.
Oh, okay, okay. I was like, "That's something else."
He said, "Well, when we get home, Shane gonna take you to the doctor." And then he found out I was pregnant. He said, "Well, you know, we got to tell your mama. You go right ahead."
So he wasn't upset?
No, he wasn't really? Upset.
Mm-mm. He just was just calm like that?
Yeah. You know, that things didn't rile daddy, unless it was the Cowboys losing.
Let's not interject the Cowboys. And the only reason I give the Cowboys that little respect is because daddy. I'm pretty sure Tony feels the same way. I'm pretty sure he's somewhere, when he listens to this, he's going to be like, yeah, you right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he called mama and he told her.
And what did mama say?
Well, mama said, "You know, well, you have a choice." And I was like, "What?" She said, "You have a choice. You can have this child. You have this child. That means that there's no movies, no dance, no nothing like that unless you're taking him with you."
Oh my God!
You taking a baby with you?
And you went. The only time Mama kept you was when I was working or going to school.
That's crazy, because you know, for the longest, I always my fondest memories with Mama was I always went with her everywhere.
Yeah.
So when she would catch the bus up on Liberty Road, I was always with her. I was always going. My grandmother used to go to a cafe, which was maybe 2.5 blocks down from where we lived.
Continental
Club in Fifth Ward. And my grandmother would take me into this club with other grown people drinking, dancing, smoking, sit me on the bar stool at the bar, and the bartender would always fix me a drink. And I thought I was drinking. He'd fix me a plastic cup with ice, and he'd pour what I thought it was orange juice, but it wasn't orange juice. It was pineapple juice. Mm-hmm. But I thought the pineapple juice was supposed to make me feel and act like Uncle Harold. Because Uncle Harold used to get drunk all the time. But it never made me feel like that. I just was happy I was with my grandma, and we were going to the club. And the bartender I don't remember his name, but he used to always say, "Oh, you brought your little man with you today?" Mm-hmm. It's like, "Yeah, baby, pour me up one." Mm-hmm. And I'm like, so back in the day, they used to call my grandmother. Like I said, I never called my grandmother grandmama. I called her mama. And they used to call her club name was Baby Lou.
Her name was Baby Lou, period.
But everybody knew my grandmother as Baby Lou. I'm the only one that called my grandmother mama. And I think I called her mama because everybody else called her mama. And I was really the only one that I could think of at the time that was the grandkid that I didn't even know I was supposed to call her grandmama. I don't think. But we used to go to this Continental Club, and I remember it used to be freezing in there. And I'm pretty sure it was a window unit. Mm-hmm. It wasn't central.
It wasn't central.
But right there in the hood on Lucille and
Erastus.
That's what I was about to say, Erastus. In that wood club Continental, the Continental Club, and that's where we used to hang out. Mm-hmm. And then we'd come back, and if we were going downtown to catch the bus to Woolworths, That's where our destination was every time we went downtown, Woolworths. Mm-hmm. Go in and sit at the counter, and used to have that cylinder with all the pies in the in it and whatnot. And she, "You want something, baby? Get whatever you want." Mm. And I remember, and that's the memories that I have of grandma. You know, my grandma never spanked me, ever. She just used to yell at us, but she never spanked me, ever. Mm. I remember she spanked Curtis, though. Okay. And yeah. Tony, but I don't remember her ever spanking me, ever. Mm. Not for one thing. Yeah.
I think you were the favorite.
I don't know, but Tony was, grandmama used to call Tony Chocolate Bunny, so mm-hmm. I thought Tony was the favorite.
Tony's my Mr. Entertainment.
Yeah, I don't even know where he gets that from. It's a lot of things that Tony do that I'm trying to still figure out where he gets, where does that come from?
He dance, he do tell jokes, yeah.
I said, this has got to be the most backward situation ever. The big brother looks up to the little brother because just his athletic prowess, I don't know where the hell that came from. Because for the longest time, this was the slowest kid. He wouldn't even run from a whooping. So if you're not running from a whooping, you're not running from somebody chasing you, except for until we move to off of Airline Roth. And he was going to, I think, was it Deshaun's?
Deshaun's Elementary.
And somehow he got into something with some kids at school, and they chased him. It was like five or six kids chased Tony home. This is when he found out he was fast. Because the kids was going to beat him up after school, and he took off running. And it was a big ditch. The ditch had to be like 6 feet wide and 6 feet deep. And he ran so fast, it was a scene out Forrest Gump. He jumped over the ditch and left everybody and ran all the way home. And we probably lived about 2 miles away from home.
Oh, you did.
Yeah, that was the craziest thing. You used to always move us to places where we had to walk to school, and it was always like 2 or 3 miles. Because when I was in the sixth grade, you enrolled me. Look, in the sixth grade, my mama enrolled me in this school called MC Williams, right? Over in the heart of Acres Homes, Studiewood. And little did she know that this was a gladiator school. This was a true, every day you had to fight at school to the point where I had a little bodyguard, but the bodyguard was bigger than me. And I was a little dude at that time. But every day you fought at that school for something. Either it was for your gym clothes or for the deodorant or something in your locker. You were fighting. If you had candy, you were fighting to keep that candy. If you had lunch that wasn't from out the line, you was fighting to keep that lunch. So I'm like, this ain't me. I'd rather go back to Fifth Ward. At least I know everybody over there. Over here, I don't know anybody. But you didn't know that. Mm-mm. You never got called to the school because I just used to keep everything on the low. Mm. So.
Well, let's talk about you as Sam Houston.
Sam Houston?
Yeah, you were cutting up over there.
I wasn't cutting up in, no. Yeah. What are you talking about?
I'm talking about
an impeccable track record at Sam Houston.
I used to come and have lunch with you and pack your books and go to, everybody knew me.
Well, that's kind of like how I am with your grandkids.
Miss Washington called me. Your English teacher called me and said, I don't know what's wrong with Chris.
What?
She was pregnant.
Miss Peggy, yeah.
She was married to a black man, right?
Yes.
And you were cutting up in the class. So I said, I'm coming there. I'll be there. I came there. It took the assistant, because they knew me, the assistant principal, the counselor, security. Y'all walked out there to that little barn where you were?
No, okay, that's a different. No. That's a different situation.
No.
Because Miss Washington was one of my favorite teachers. She was my English teacher.
I know.
The lady that you came up there for, she was pregnant also, but she was black. And she was out in the shacks. That's what we called the shacks.
Was her name Washington?
No.
What was her name?
I don't remember her name right now, but it wasn't Washington because the only Washington was Miss Peggy. Watch, Miss Peggy's going to hear this podcast, and she's going to say, yep, that was me. That was me. Just by for the record, Miss Peggy was one of my favorite teachers, so you were still my favorite teacher. But I think what happened with Miss Peggy, I had Montrell in the class. All my friends were in that class. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we cut up.
Yeah, you did.
But I still got good grades in her class.
Yeah,
but my grades were...
I don't care.
Just a little backstory. Mm-mm. See, my mom was like that ninja mom that would pop up in class when you least expect it. I remember I was in the seventh grade. I had transferred to Farmville Middle School. Mr. Green, and this is how significant this was. Mr. Green was my reading teacher. And we used to always fall into class. Me and one of my best friends, Derek Durden, we used to fall into class and we would be talking and just getting rowdy, right? And Mr. Green told us one day, he said, all right, everybody settle down. And we over there acting a fool. But he's telling everybody to settle down. He said, we have a special guest today. We have a parent with us. And they're going to be observing what happens in class. So I'm saying to myself, I'm talking to Derek. And Derek sat in front of me. I said, oh, man, somebody mama here, they going to get their ass whooped today. Oh, man, who going to get clowned today? So Derek just happened to look behind me, and his eyes got huge. So, Liz, if you're listening to this, ask Derek about this story. His eyes got huge, and he just said, oh, Chris, man, turn around, that's your mama. I said, what? And I looked around. Oh, man, this chill came over my body. And right when the chill came over my body, my mom just sitting there like, keep doing what you're doing. And Mr. Green said, we have Chris White's mom in the class today, and everybody in the class turned and focused their attention on me. And I'm like, what the hell are you doing here? I'm not in trouble in this class. Why are you in this class? And I never forgot that. And I said, damn, man, you know what? My mama will pop up at any time and follow you to class, to every class. And I say, you know what? I did the same thing to my kids. And as I reflect on it now, I'm like, you know what? That really keeps you in check. Mm-hmm. Because when you don't know someone is just being stealth and ninja-like and can pop up and probably has a belt or an extension cord or access to something to hit you with, you stay on your P's and Q's for a certain amount of time until you know the coast is clear. Now, that time that you came up to Sam Houston looking for me, I got pre-warning. I got pre-game warning. Somebody said, hey, Chris, man, I saw somebody up here that looked like your mom. I'm like, yeah, whatever. You ain't seen nobody look like my mom up here. Then the second time somebody said it, I knew they knew you. Mm. And it must have been Montrell or Derek or Tim or someone. Mm. And they said, man, I think I seen your mom up here. And I'm like, oh, hell no. Did she have something with her? Hell no, boy. Hell no. She ain't whooping me in school. You ain't gonna ever tell that story. Man, you remember when Chris White mama came up here and she whooped him in front of everybody? That ain't the story that's gonna ever be told about me. Like, man, he ran. Like,
but I got you in
school. No, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
No, you did not.
Yes, I did. You
no, you did not.
Yes, I did.
What
in the fuck was that?
No. I never got. You might have got Curtis or Tony.
No. They learned from you. They learned not to do things because they knew I would pop up like that. So I didn't go to the school for Curtis. I didn't go to the school for Tony because they learned, hey, you don't want your mama coming up here. But that day, we were all out there. So I stood back. As the principal opened up, the assistant principal opened the door. And so the teacher came out. She said, you know, he's a good student. I have no problem with him. But it just seemed like he's just cutting up since I'm pregnant. He's just doing it. You know, okay.
Wait a minute.
So wait. So she said, now watch. When I open this door, you had some overalls on. When she opened that door, you was standing up in the middle of the floor cutting up. And you looked at me, and you was like, you had to focus. Then you saw me, and your eyes got real little. Then they got big. Then I say, come here. And when you got to that door, I caught you in your chest and pulled you out there. Boop, boop. And the principal told me, say, no, you can't do that.
Hey, listen, my mama came up to the school and tried to pull a Scarface on me, man. She tried to do a 187. I don't remember that. I think she's confusing me with one of my brothers. Because I don't ever remember getting a whooping at school.
I didn't whoop you.
What happened?
I grabbed you in your shirt and I, what you doing in this class cutting up? These teachers are here to teach you not to be babysitting you, and you're not going to be. And yeah, I ain't have no more problems with you. I never had to go back to the school for nothing. And them other ones learned from that. Man, you don't want mama coming to that school. You better not do that.
I swear I don't remember that. Mm-hmm. I think I blocked that out of my memory.
I would block it too.
This is when you learn what compartmentalization is, and you're like, "Nah, we're gonna just that never happened." I don't remember that though.
I remember it.
I couldn't have been in the ninth grade.
You were in the 11th grade.
I was in the 11th grade.
Yes, sir.
No.
Yes.
Wait a minute. So you never had to go to school for Keita?
No.
Never
had to go to school for Marquita. Kita can count on one hand how many times she's got a whooping in her entire life.
Ain't she lucky?
Because we can't do that. Because she learned from y'all.
That's crazy. Wait a minute. You never had to go to school for Tony?
No.
You probably should have.
By his grades. But and didn't really have to go there about his grades. Because I had that talk with him.
I don't think I would have done that in the 11th grade. 9th grade? Mm-mm. 10th grade? Mm-mm. 11th grade?
Go back through your high school pictures and see what year you had them doggone overalls on.
I don't know, because in high school I was dapper. I used to dress like GQ, so I don't think that happened in the 11th grade.
Maybe it was your sophomore year. It was high school. Keita said it was high school.
You don't know what you're talking about.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, that must have been true, because I was known for not wearing no shirt. Mm-hmm. Yep, that must have been true to an extent. That's interesting. Yeah, but I have way more fonder memories at Sam Houston than that.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure.
Okay, let's talk about your high school.
What?
So when did you get pregnant with me? In what grade?
I got pregnant with you in the 9th grade.
In the 9th grade?
Yep.
Come on, now. I ain't never heard that story. So I'm thinking it's the 10th grade.
No.
I'm 10th or 11th grade.
9th.
So you got pregnant in 9th. If my daughter told me right now, I would probably.
What? You just go in the closet, cry, and come back out and deal with it. That's what you do.
That's some real ninja stuff right there. Because as attentive as I am, and I know. If you got you're on a mission, there's nothing gonna stop you from accomplishing that
That's
mission.
Right. You know how you little boys are.
Ninth grade. Damn. Now I gotta have a conversation with Troy Howard. Oh man, this is oh my God. Ninth grade. That means my mama was a hot ass in the ninth grade. What the hell, man? Oh, this opened up too many more. Oh, I done opened this box. Oh,
questions.
So this box has been open, and yeah, I'm pretty sure someone else is getting a good laugh out of this. Okay, so 9th grade, fall or spring? I had to be the spring.
Yeah, you're born in December.
Yeah, that's why I know it had to be the spring.
Mm-hmm. All of y'all were born except for Curtis.
That's probably why Curtis feels the way he feels. Yeah. Everybody else is okay. All of my siblings are born in December.
If he could file a grievance, he would.
So, my sister's born on the 8th of December. My brother Tony is born on the 14th. I'm born on the 13th. Mm-hmm. And I hit the lotto with my daughter because she's born on the 13th as well. Mm-hmm. That's really hitting the lotto. It's crazy. But I don't have any of. Well, you know what? The issues I've never, you know what? I've had a couple of issues that I had to go to the school for in regards to Kamora and Chris.
Oh, Kamora is my girl.
Kamora is really a female version of me, and that's scary. And I see so much of me in her that it is mind blowing, and I'm like, dang, I'm pretty sure if I was a girl, this is exactly how I would act.
I was laughing because I was thinking about that letter she wrote to that teacher.
Exactly. So
she was chewing that teacher out.
So my daughter wrote a letter to a teacher because of a grade she received, and she felt the grade wasn't warranted, that she should have received a higher grade. And in this one-page letter, she chewed this teacher out to the point where I got offended by reading it. And at the end of the letter, she said, and if we can't resolve this amicably, I'm going to bring my father up there and we'll definitely get it straightened out. And I'm like, that's a threat. I'm at the point where I'm like, you wrote this yourself? She said, yeah. And I'm waiting on her response.
Well, see, Kamora is, she's a mini you, yes. And she's, you don't talk to them like they little kids.
Right.
So that letter she fired off was like something an adult would write. The teacher probably thought it was you.
Exactly. I had to reread it and realize that I didn't help her with that. Yep. Like, what the hell? The next episode, I'm going to find that letter and I'm going to read it. And you guys will be the judge and you would tell me if this is a threatening letter or is it something that just trying to get her point across. I guarantee you, you're going to say, what the hell was that? No kid writes like that, but this kid does. So, okay, we're going back to you in your ninth grade before we get ready to wrap this up. Mm-hmm. You in the ninth grade, mm-hmm. you found out that you're pregnant with me. Mm-hmm. What does grandmama say?
No. She said, well, are you going to have the baby? Yep, I'm going to have the baby. And so she took me out of Cashmere and she put me over at Houston High. It was called Houston High. It was a school for pregnant girls.
Okay. So, wait a minute. It was a school totally for pregnant mm-hmm. young ladies? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. It was down on Holman and Saint John Center or something like that. And that's where I finished my sophomore year.
Did not know that. So, 11th grade, you were back at Cashmere?
Yep.
Okay. So, how did Troy Howard take this? How did that? I'm still trying. I'm foggy on that.
What do you mean, how did he take
okay. it? Obviously, he knows y'all did something.
Well, he knew about you.
Okay.
But your dad is a trip. He told me mama threatened him.
What? Okay. Another story I've never heard before. You got to talk into the mic for this because I got to hear this.
He said that my mama threatened him. So he said he used to ride the bike by there to try to see you and stuff. Say, mama told him don't come on the street. If it's a lie, that's what your daddy told me.
So, grandmama threatened my father. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Little bitty woman.
But I can't take that lightly because grandmama was a G. She would fire your butt up in a heartbeat. She was nice to me, but I'm pretty sure she wasn't nice to everybody else. Yeah. And there wasn't no games being played. So, okay. You leave the ninth grade, your sophomore year, you're at Houston High. Mm-hmm. You come back the 11th grade year. Mm-hmm. I'm what, one? Mm-hmm. And you're a junior. Mm-hmm. What was that?
What you mean?
What was that like? So you're in high school, you have a baby.
I had a baby and I was working.
You had a baby and you were working and mm-hmm. going and finishing high school.
Yeah.
Wow. I don't know how that would work. If I had a baby in high school.
Everywhere I went, you went. If I wasn't working or at school, everywhere I went, you went.
Wow.
Well, that's what mama laid. That was the rule.
So, somebody. Who watched me when you went to school?
Mama.
Okay, so Sheila, your sister, your baby sister, mm-hmm. what grade was Sheila in?
Eighth or something, I don't know.
Oh, okay. Wait a minute. Uncle Charles is the oldest, right? Mm-hmm. Then Uncle David, then you.
No, me. Then Uncle David.
Oh, for some reason I thought Uncle David was older. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then Uncle Mike.
Sheila. Then Uncle Sheila. Mike.
Oh, okay. That's probably where I got all my bad ways from, hanging around with Uncle Mike.
Oh, don't say that. I always say I got a blue-collar criminal brother and a white-collar criminal brother. What you want to meet?
Yeah, I'm sitting in the middle of two different worlds right here, and that's exactly how it rolled out. So I done figured out a lot without knowing that I'm figuring it out.
Yeah.
So you're in the 11th grade mm-hmm. at Cashmere. Mm-hmm. I'm one. And then, wait a minute, I'm trying to get this timeline down. Because Curtis, wait, you got married. When did you got married?
In 75
to my Curtis. Brother's dad Curtis mm-hmm. and you were at the time
18
were you still in high school?
Yeah,
you were still. So wait a minute, so in the ninth grade you get pregnant, you in alternative school, then you come back, and then the senior year you get married?
I got married.
The hell?
I went to summer school to finish early. I was supposed to, well, you know, I broke my arm when I was in the second grade. So I was originally supposed to finish school in 74, but I broke my arm, so that set me back a year because I my right arm.
Okay. No, I didn't remember that.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I remember you told me some. I vaguely remember that story.
So then I went to summer school to finish in 74, November of 74. But that's why I stayed on y'all about y'all credits.
Right.
What happened is, in 74, I needed a half a credit. And the only way I can get that half a credit, I couldn't finish in November. I had to go to school a whole nother semester and take two classes just to be allowed on campus.
Really?
Yeah. I needed them. All I needed was a half a credit.
Wow.
And that's why I finished in March of 75 instead of May.
Wow. I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. I just thought you finished in May of 75. Okay. Mm-hmm. I didn't even know they'd let you get your diploma that early. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, I didn't get it that early, but I mean, I could have came back in March with my class.
I'm trying to figure out, how do I remember? I know the pictures, but I remember the wedding when you married Curtis. Mm-hmm. I remember that. Mm-hmm. I remember being there. I remember you in the dress.
Like two. I think you were like two.
No, I couldn't have a memory that goes back that far.
Oh, you to probably two. The pictures. Probably the pictures you saw.
Oh, yeah, that's probably exactly what it was. Okay. What? Oh, so you're a senior in high school. You get married in what? The spring? You just graduated, or are you still in school?
It's just crazy. Got married. Birthday, August 1st. I turned 18. Your dad's birthday the next day. I didn't know. And then the next day, we get married.
Oh, it's for me. Really? Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay. This is crazy. That's why I said this is not just a one-part series. This is a multiple episode of this particular podcast, and this is going to get deeper and more interesting, because I'm going to grill the hell out my mom, and y'all are going to be witnesses to this, and this is going to be crazy. I guarantee it. I'm pretty sure my brother Tony is somewhere just dying laughing right now, but he's going to have to chime in. We're going to get him in on the phone call, because he's out in Kansas. It's not even Pittsburgh anymore. It's what? Frontenac?
Frontenac,
Kansas. Mm-hmm. He's never coming back.
Yeah, he is.
No, he's never coming back to Houston. So, shout out to them Pittsburgh State Gorillas, man. Hope you guys are trying to put something together, because everybody else is playing. But this is part one. And just know that, being part one, there's a lot more to this story. What, anything you'd like to add before we get out of here?
No. Mama White. Have a blessed day.
Have a blessed day. We're going to talk about the mass whoopings later. All right. Thank y'all for tuning in to another episode of Cuts University. You know, the only place on the planet where you can get a free degree in common sense. You teach something, you learn something, it goes down. We out for this episode. I'm your boy DJ Cuts, a.k.a. Mr. White. We out.